We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Monte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh. I'm about to cut the Porsche!
Okay. Dude. We're bringing it back to 2011.
Candlestick was so lit when this... The whole place...
Well, there's two players I think of. Boobie Miles and Larry Grant. Always thinking those two.
Blake Costanzo.
Oh, I Blake
Don't
Costanzo
sleep on
too.
My white boys.
On the kickoff team, going back and forth with Boobie after the games, when he would wave the 49er flag. He would wave that baby in front of the dugout.
Tony Montana.
This is hard.
Tony Montana. The whole entire place would go crazy.
So we've been talking about defense, defense. Is oh baby. Good morning, to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shifts. If you're at work, good morning to you. If you're getting ready for work, if you're on the roadways, good morning to everybody out there listening on the Odyssey app. Comcast Business Text Line, of course, YouTube and Twitch. We love you all. We love Jason Aponte, one of the many great 49er content producers. He's all over the place on Twitter, man, representing for the Niners, Sprint Right Pod, Niners Nation. He's everywhere. And I wonder, because he's feeling himself now because he got Aaron Judge and the Yankees hitting 61.
I mean, I don't
They're
blame
going
him.
To the playoffs, and the Giants, they're trying to battle to get to 500. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, my God. Let's start right
John
here.
Sterling.
Let's start right here. Okay, we were having a debate because we're talking about through three games. This looks like a really good defense. Elite is what I would say. They haven't had a true test. It's really early. In the last 20 years or so, we narrowed it down 2011, 2012, 2019, and obviously this year's version in terms of the best defenses of the last 20 or so years from the 49ers. Which defense are you taking?
First of all, thank you guys for having me, man. It's honor and a pleasure. And yeah, Aaron Judge is 61, but I think we know who the home run king is. It's Barry Bonds.
Thank you. Barry Lamar.
That's coming from a Yankee fan, everybody. Coming from a Yankee fan.
From the Bronx as well, too.
From the Bronx.
There we go.
From the Bronx.
Yeah, so, yeah.
There it is.
Not Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
No.
We don't do that, actually. But no, if you want to be prisoner for a moment, and I'm going to just take this defense, and here's why.
Okay.
Jimmy Ward hasn't played one snap. Eric Armstead didn't make this game either as well, too. Yeah, Jason Verrett could possibly be in there, right? And Sammy Womack starts, and now D'Amador Lenore steps in, and he plays well. Mm-hmm. You're talking about insane depth in the secondary now when Jason Verrett returns, Jimmy Ward returns, and then Eric Armstead coming back and getting himself back acclimated. I really don't see how this defense wouldn't be the best in this time period unless there's barring some sort of injury. And knock on wood, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. Right. But Nick Bosa is on his way to a historic season as far as pressures and sacks. I think that there is no way to look at anybody on all those other defenses as far as, like, and, you know, Aldon Smith was incredible. But Nick Bosa, what he's doing right now is he could be one of the top 1, 2, 3 football players in the world at any position if he continues his rate. So, yeah, and throw in the fact that DeMeco Ryans has largely become the best defensive coordinator in the league. I mean, on 3rd and 14, right, let's just say this, and I don't want to disrespect the great Robert Saleh, but on 3rd and 14, what you would have normally seen from this defense in 2019 was just everybody drop back in the cover three and just make the front four go get him. He's sending pressure on 3rd and 14 and sending guys. You know why? He's dialing it up at the right time, and he's not taking his foot off the gas. The defense is the least of my worries with this team.
Wow, 20, that's a good point. You made a lot of excellent points there. Don't forget about Vic Fangio, another great defensive coordinator in 2011. That was another team that did not blitz.
No.
They didn't have to because of Justin Smith and Aldon Smith, Ahmed Brooks, and, of course, Ray McDonald in the middle, Isaac Sapuaga. That was a great man. We're talking about some great defenses here. But time is early. It's too early to tell. Denver, struggling on offense. We know about Geno Smith in Seattle. Mm-hmm. But you play with who's on the schedule, Justin Fields in Chicago. And the problem I have with this defense so far, Chicago went crazy with those three straight touchdowns. The game got sideways with the Dante Pettis play. But this will by far be their biggest test on Monday. And I still think the Niners defense has an advantage because we know, Jason, Matt Stafford will throw a couple up for the defense.
Absolutely. And when you look at the way that their offensive line, I mean, there's so many questions about the 49ers offensive line. But here you're looking at the Rams offensive line. Yep. You're looking at Note Boom, and you're looking at, like, there's no Andrew Whitworth. He's not walking through that door for them anymore. So now you're going to see, similarly, even when Whitworth was there, the Rams didn't necessarily blow the doors off the 49ers. Mm-hmm. They still struggled to score points. Allen Robinson was supposed to come in and be immediate contributor, and I don't think that that's happened yet. I don't know what it is about him and Matthew Stafford. They haven't gotten on the same, you know, Cooper Kupp as the Cooper Kupp, but running back situation, they don't really have a rotation there either, so they're in a similar place. Like, it's funny, across the league right now, and I believe that the number is, for 10 years, this is the least amount of points across the league that have been scored. So there's a lot of teams that are struggling right now on offense, but even if the Rams were firing on all cylinders per se, the 49ers have never really given it up to them. Like, it's not like they're just giving up 30 and 40 points to them.
Good point.
So now when you bring into the fact that Tyler Higbee is the number two guy with targets, their tight end, and the 49ers have done a masterful job covering tight ends, the Rams are not necessarily going to come in here and score points. And that's always been the point about when Trey Lance started or whoever was going to be the quarterback now, is this defense is never going to let any game get away from them. They're always going to have a chance to be right there, and it's all going to come down to the offense execution.
How do they get this offense to just pop a little more, man? We were talking about just different personnel things, and I'm coming in outside the box with, I said, hey, maybe it is playing Debo exclusively at running back so that you can at least run some play action, because now it feels like every time he touches the ball, everybody's all over him, four, five, six guys on him. Is it playing Danny Gray? Is it just asking the quarterback to play better? How do they get some pop out of the O?
I think it's all of the above right there, Chasky, at this point. I mean, look, the Debo Samuel thing, you heard Kyle Shanahan say something that kind of was disheartening after the game about, well, nobody's shocked at the Debo runs anymore. Okay, well, now you know that. Fine. So maybe when you have Debo Samuel in the backfield, maybe you don't necessarily give him the ball so that everybody doesn't key in on him, right? Danny Gray, sure, you'd like to see that, but I think the quarterback has to play a little bit better. You have a lot of questions about this offense.
Yeah.
I understand that, right?
Yeah.
I understand that. But I'm not as concerned because as long as there are guys running wide open down the field, it's not going to boil down to Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, there's all this talk about play calling and all these things. Kyle can't throw the ball either, right?
Yeah.
I agree there.
And everybody always wants to talk about, well, you know, he's got the shackles on Jimmy. Well, you don't know what's being discussed in that room. You don't know what is going on, right? So my issue becomes this. Kyle Shanahan gets Brandon Ayuk on a safety or a linebacker. That's a matchup you need to take advantage
of.
Just have to let it rip. Like, how many times can you see a guy running down the field wide open, hand up, and Jimmy Garoppolo throws it into two guys? Or when Brandon Ayuk is running across over on third down, which is a perfect third down play, and Jimmy throws it at his feet. Look, I'm not here to bash Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think we can all objectively say he played poorly on Sunday.
Totally.
And that has so much more to do with this offensive lack of success than Kyle Shanahan's play calling.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
You can criticize certain play calls, and I'm fine with that. He's not above criticism. But at the same time, as long as guys are running wide open and the ball's not being thrown, I'm not certain what Kyle Shanahan can do anymore, and that's why he moved heaven and earth to try to move on and get Trey Lance, because this was happening too frequently.
Yeah, and you know what? It's well said. You're spot on, Jason Aponte, Niners Nation, Sprint Right Pod here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You're so spot on because plays are there to be made, yet the quarterback is not making them and not taking advantage of matchups, which is frustrating because last week, players and whoever coaches are talking to Michael Silver at SF Chronicle talking about, well, Jimmy gives us the best chance to win. And you watch that game on Sunday, and you hear all the excuses, and it's frustrating to hear that. So with that said, you're out there in the Bronx. You're covering the Yankees. Shasky and I, the last 2 days, have been saying, this team lacks playmakers, which is why I'm hesitant to put Debo at running back, because I'm saying, well, if you put him at running back, the wear and tear he's going to get, all of a sudden you're down a wide receiver, and you have Brandon Ayuk, who's going to get shadowed by the defense, a corner and a safety over the top. Danny Gray, we don't know anything about. The quarterback can't get the ball to Danny Gray. And you have Juwan Jennings, who can't really get separation
possession
on the
receiver.
Outside.
Yeah, he's a possession receiver
at best.
Which is fine.
Playmakers. What are they saying out there in New York City about Saquon Barkley? Now, it's very premature, but I wonder what's going to happen in that situation where he's going to be a free agent after the year, and we have no idea if the Giants want to pay a running back.
And to echo that, in 2019, when we could clearly see, hey, wide receiver's a problem,
they traded for Emmanuel Sanders
during the middle of the year. If you're a win-now team, I'm looking at this team, I don't know if Elijah's coming back. You know, so I'm just asking, what are they saying about Saquon Barkley? Because I think he'd be a great fit.
Well, look, I think that a lot of the people here have a problem with the way that Saquon hasn't been able to stay on the field. And a lot of people, you know, the game has moved toward not paying running backs second contracts, right?
Right.
Like the name of the game right now is draft them, run them into the ground, and let somebody else pay them, right? So now look at the Cowboys, right? There's a lot of talk now about Ezekiel Elliott being passed over by Tony Pollard, right? Derrick Henry isn't exactly King Henry that anymore. Dalvin Cook is injured again. Christian McCaffrey is constantly injured. Alvin Kamara is injured.
Right.
This is why so many people stay away from going with the second contract. If I was guessing for the 49ers, I don't think they make a move like that, but I don't think anybody here in New York is necessarily ready to ship off Saquon.
Right.
I think that they're more focused on what the hell are they going to do with quarterback. But
it's just
the NFL right now has just moved away from the whole, well, pay running backs and just keep feeding them, because, you know, once you get to 30, you might as well call that 50 and running back year.
Yeah. Right, no doubt. And just the aggressiveness at the deadline, because the deadline's going to come during the Niners' bye week. You know, October 30th is going to come, and then, you know, the deadline's November 1st. Last year, we saw like 10 different moves around the deadline. We saw Von Miller get shipped to help the L.A. Rams from Denver. He goes to L.A. and wins the Super Bowl. Beckham gets cut by the Browns. He becomes an L.A. Ram. This feels like a year where the Niners may have to get aggressive, because they had their full complement of picks in 2024 and 2025. You got a second-round pick next year and a third-round pick. I almost feel like they need to get aggressive and just surround Jimmy with playmakers and make it as easy as possible, as if he's a rookie or a second-year quarterback like Trey Lance.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of having him at this discounted rate, even though his numbers are going to go up the more he plays. It's still a discounted rate down from the $26 million, so you have flexibility to play around with. Don't forget the cap is going to increase next year. Too. I mean, I would love to see the 49ers go ahead and do that. One thing I think we're kind of overlooking at this point is George Kittle's first game back.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, he's probably getting himself up to speed. The only thing that I would say that is a little bit concerning now is that now that Trent Williams is out, how much is George Kittle going to have to be in there block now at this
point? That's big.
I mean, from what you saw in the game the other night, because I'm blown away how much they get this guy to block. And I get it. That's part of his game. And it's what makes him so valuable. But I don't pay guys to block at the tight end position. I pay him to catch passes and take routes. He just didn't look like he had any juice. Was that, am I the only one there? Or is that just, I'm looking that he doesn't get enough targets to where he could show that he's running through people still?
No, I think that's very fair. And I think that, again, it was his first game back. You know, he had missed so much time because of the injury as well, too. So we have to give him at least a little bit of leeway there. And you know what? This may sound like a cop-out. I kind of want to give Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit of leeway as well, too. But it kind of makes me feel bad when I hear, well, it was like riding like a bike, and then all of a sudden this week it's like, oh, well, we're rusty. And also, you know, for the people that tell me, well, he hasn't had the playbook, you know, which page in the playbook says, the end zone is 10 yards only. You know? I think that we need time to figure this out. And I think that's what the glass half full approach is that I'm going to take, right? It's 1-3 right now. It's 1-2 right now, right? In week three. You have the Rams, you have the Carolina Panthers, you have the Falcons, and sandwiched right after that is the Chiefs. So you have bookended two really good teams. But if you find a way to get this done on Monday Night Football, you really have a chance to go on a little mini run before you get to the Chiefs, because let's just face it, the Panthers aren't very good, the Falcons aren't very good, and this defense, regardless if the offense isn't clicking, will be able to overcome those two teams. And then you get the real test. Hopefully by then this offense is kicked in. So, look, the sky isn't falling. Don't light everything on fire, right? Like, the season's not in the balance right here. You would love to have this win, and hopefully an extra day on Monday Night Football helps this offense kick into gear. But it's still right there all in front of you. And need I remind you, the NFC West isn't being run away. I mean, Arizona should be 0-3. Yeah. Thank you, Las Vegas Raiders. Seattle's terrible. And the Rams aren't exactly blowing the doors off of people either. So no one's running away with this division. It's still right there in front of the 49ers.
Doesn't it feel like if they go into the bye week 4-4, that's a win for the Niners, considering all the turbulence this season? They could be 4-4 going into the bye week. Then you play a Chargers team that's going to be without Joey Bosa for a long time. As you mentioned, Arizona's been a mess. The Saints can't do anything offensively with Jameis Winston. My goal is just be 4-4 by the bye week and see where you're at. See where you're at before the trade deadline.
Right, 100%. That's exactly how you should feel. And this is such a week-to-week league, not only with the way the teams play, but injuries shape how these teams are being brought up, right? Like, yep. You just mentioned it. When you look at the schedule and you went down the line, you said, well, the first two are wins for the 49ers. Well, we know how that worked out. They went 1-1. And then right. You say, oh, the first test is Denver. But then you realize that Denver hasn't actually been sharp offensively.
Right.
So that changes the way you look at it. So that's why you don't get too carried away with wins, loss at the beginning of the season when you see the schedule. Because week to week, an injury here, the team's not performing there, teams change and they don't look that good. You know, you don't pray for injuries, but that's just the nature of the league.
Jason. Good stuff, man, as always, man. We love having you on the roast.
Great stuff.
Our roasters love you, man. Check out Jason at Niners Nation on Twitter, of course, and Sprint Right Pod. Jason's
Hell
all over the 49ers, and he's all over Aaron Judge, who may be a future Giant. We'll hope.
Look, I will say this, and look, if he does end up going back home with the Giants, I will be happy for him. Deserves every single dollar. I'll be happy for you guys, and I'll be rooting for him to be the first righty to put it in a cubby coat.
There we go.
There it is. Look at that. He's not leaving the Yankees. Come on, man. 500 million.
I don't think so either, but if it happens to be you guys, I'm happy.
Dude, that yard, it's a hitter's paradise, man. New Yankee Stadium.
He's Buster's his favorite player. I don't know.
We'll see about that. Jason, good stuff, man,
good
as
stuff.
Always.
I
appreciate you.
All right, Jason Aponte here on the morning. Also on 95.7 Game. Said a lot of good things. We'll take this defense. He would take this defense now over all those defenses.
I think it's interesting because it's such a pass-happy league, right?
Right.
I do believe that when you look at the secondary, like even the 2011-2012 teams, let's start there, hard-hitting, weren't necessarily pass coverage.
No.
In terms of secondary.
No.
Carlos Rogers had a monster year that year. Terrell Brown started to come on, but they weren't guys that like locked down anyone.
Right.
They were
right.
more like Smarts and Guile
right.
and things like that.
And then
they're going to
bend, don't break.
And we're going to thump the crud out of you.
Right.
Right. Like
right.
I just think of Hittner, and I think of Deshaun Golson, the Hawk, coming in and blasting somebody. 2019. They didn't generate turnovers outside of Sherman from the cornerback position. This year, it feels like Hufanga is like that changer, that game-changing type of player. Well, not only does he make plays on the ball, but he hits guys so hard the ball pops up in the air and someone else can make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ward and Mooney obviously are a little more proficient at deflecting balls. So I kind of hear him on the secondary thing. I do think this is their best version of the secondary if we're ranking the four teams.
Well, 2019, though, I'm looking at these turnovers, and I'm looking at the turnovers they forced. They were really good.
Yeah, they had a lot of fumbles.
They forced.
And Warner had picks.
Yep. They forced two turnovers in the Super Bowl, three against the Packers in the NFC Championship game, and two against Minnesota. That's seven turnovers in three games right there. Now, they gave the ball away four times, so that doesn't help. But you look at these turnovers, like Seattle in overtime, they forced four turnovers.
Yeah, remember that one game? One of them was where Russ looked like he handed it to the lineman, and then Buckner ran in
for the touchdown.
I mean,
flipped the game. Damn, they forced Baker Mayfield and the Browns into four turnovers.
By the way, everyone's saying, like, you know, the Jimmy G play from last week where he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
I've never seen Jimmy do anything dumb like that. Go back to that Monday night game.
Oh, gosh.
The Seattle game. When he was, like, getting sacked. And he just kind of, like, threw the ball on the ground. And we were up 10-0. And breathed life into the Seahawks.
Right.
Guy picked it up, scooped it up. I think it was Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
Picked it up,
Clowney,
scooped it up, and walked in.
Yeah, Clowney
Jimmy
walked
just,
in.
Jimmy just, like, just threw the ball on the ground.
It flipped the game.
Like he was, like, a referee throwing a flag on the play.
Well, it was 10-0 at that point. Niners 10-0. And that got Seattle on the board. And not to mention the play last year, week three, at home in the home opener against Green Bay Packers. Remember that one?
Come on. Why do you got to do that? And what overshadows it was Shanahan's play clock management in that game where he threw three times at the end of the game.
Which I didn't have a problem with at the time. I'm not going to lie.
I'll be real. I wanted the tie.
Yeah, I did.
Because I knew they weren't going to march the length of the field.
They didn't want the tie until Steiny started talking about the
tie. What are you talking about?
I don't remember that. I remember I was like, go for it. Just go win the game. Nobody wanted to tie the Seahawks.
No, in that situation, in that throwing it three times was giving them another chance to win.
I agree.
Your chances of winning were very minimal. It's all about winning.
It is about winning, but it wasn't
risk
about tie.
Assessment.
I don't think people wanted to tie at that point. Well, so it was a smart move, right? Maybe you get the tie, you remain in first
Chase
place.
Chase McLaughlin just hits a damn field goal.
Well, he had nailed one before regulation was over.
He kicked the worst field goal I've ever seen.
He had just nailed one, though.
I know, from like 50.
He hit one. He kicked it into the tunnel.
It looked like he was kicking with the wrong foot.
Oh, man. What a game that was. What a day that was. Let's go to Zach and Martinez, listening on the radio. Zach, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to hit on a point the last caller said, which was you have to give time for George Kittle to settle back in. So, like, when when Klay Thompson came back from multiple injuries, we all knew it was going to be a slow process, and we knew it was going to be a game-by-game, limit his reps, and let him ease back into the game. I really think that's going to be the case with George Kittle. And to a lesser degree, I know we expect a lot more out of the quarterback position, but I think you got to do the same with Jimmy. I know he had some excuses and obviously a boneheaded right. play last week, but the guy had an injury all year. I think we just got to give him time to settle in, get the shoulder right, and just get back into more of a game rhythm, because being out for an entire offseason, you know, it doesn't do any players any favors.
No, it doesn't at all. Good call, Zach. Good call. Call us back soon. Well, and here's
that's
the thing.
An interesting point.
You know what? Patience. And so when you talk about patience, and it's not going to look pretty, at this point, just get wins, right? That Broncos game, it's ugly, right? The Broncos fans aren't going to complain.
No.
Russell Wilson and company and Nathaniel Hackett aren't going to go. They're saying to themselves, we go to Vegas with a chance to be 3-1, tie for first place. That's what the Broncos are looking at. And so Monday night may be ugly. Hell, you may win a game 12-10. You may win it 15-13. I don't know. Just stack wins at this point and get to the bye week. Like, I'm looking at the schedule. Like, even Carolina, Atlanta, we say they're bad teams. I'd be happy with the split. In those two road games.
Anybody can beat anybody.
Right. Anybody
it's the
can
NFL.
Beat. The Carolina Panthers have very good defense, and Atlanta has a very good offense. They have playmakers, and they get the ball to their playmakers. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, you know, Cordell Patterson's running the ball hard out of the backfield. Then you get Kansas City and the Rams in L.A. I'm just saying to myself, I'm 1-2 right now. Where can I be October 30th? Can I get to 4-4 going into the bye week?
Here's the only issue I've got with this point, and it's an interesting point. You know, obviously, Klay missed two full seasons with two devastating. These are career-ending injuries, and at least in that sport. Basketball's so different. There's so much inventory of games. You can ease. There's minutes. You can come in and out. Like, it's just so hard trying to compare and contrast basketball in terms of how you ease yourself back in to football. Football is full go, small, tiny little career. You know, every single play is dramatically more important than even a full game in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's so hard to compare. I get what he's saying, but I also go back to, like, and I'm looking at George Kittle here, and I think this is fair to wonder. I'm not saying this. I'm saying it's fair to wonder. What's going on with all of these injuries? Like, I know the game is so violent. I know that the game inherently is going to get you hurt all the time. This is a guy who it feels like he can't go a couple weeks without something coming up.
Yeah.
And then that to me is like, okay, maybe because of all the wear and tear on the O-line, maybe I shouldn't have him block as much. If I want to, like, help him from, you know, staying and being a key part of this team moving forward. Like, I do think that they need to assess those, you know, what's the value of this here now? And I know that that's part of his game, but maybe he has to evolve his game. I'm just wondering that out loud.
Sometimes I wonder, can he play 12 games in a season? Can you give it 12 to 13 games this season? Because now I'm looking at his contract, and after 2023, there's a potential out there. But I wonder, next year he's going to make $11.6 million in base salary. He's going to get another $3.6 for signing. It's a lot of money for a guy who's been nicked up a lot over the past 2 years. And I know you see the percentages. Oh, he's played 84% of the games. But how much has he been compromised because of these injuries?
That's the way I would
phrase it. The fractured ankle.
Yes.
The pop castle in the kneecap. Last year, whatever was going on with him, he was obviously not 100%. And when he's not 100%, he's not the same in the passing game.
No.
He may be the same in the run game, but I need him in the passing game because I have limited weapons outside. Like, the great thing, this is why I want Deebo. We were having a conversation yesterday about Deebo playing running back or whether or not you want to play a full-time running back. And I hear where you're coming from. You're just trying to figure something out to make this offense go.
Yeah.
Now, I think you can't make the offense go in that because everybody saw it last year. That was their default. You know what? Here's our wrinkle. Let's play Deebo in the backfield, and let's make something happen. Well, teams have had an entire offseason to get ready for that. Where can I get Deebo down the field one-on-one against a corner?
So here's the example. No, not a corner, because they did it in the game where they had
safety
him,
or whatnot. Well, but
they had him in the backfield. And I'll let you finish. They had him in the backfield multiple times where he's running a wheel route with a linebacker lined up there because he was in the running back spot, and it was wide open
was
on multiple occasions.
I have a feeling that defense will adjust to that.
I'm sure.
Deebo may run that wheel route. We need a safety on him instead of a linebacker. Yeah. He was open. That would have gone for a touchdown. Nobody talks about it. Got to make a throw.
Well, and there was a couple that he didn't even look in his direction.
Yeah, I know. But if I could get Debo, instead of running to get 7 and 8 man boxes, can I get him down the field to where I can get him some one-on-ones?
Totally.
And maybe make a man miss, and he goes for 50. He goes for 40. Instead of going to get 7 and 8 guys, let me try to get him against one or two guys down the field, because what's his greatest trait? He breaks tackles.
Yeah.
He's tough to tackle one-on-one. So can I get him down the field and get him in situations to where all he has to do is beat a corner or a safety or a linebacker instead of going to get 7 and 8 man walls to where he's getting smashed for 2 yards on a running play? Same thing with Ayuk. Can I create some opportunities down the field one-on-one for Brandon Ayuk and have these guys go against the secondary instead of jet sweeps against 8 man fronts? That's all I'm looking for.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I do keep coming back to George Kittle has got to, like, he's got to have a pop game. I mean, B, he's got to have a pop game at some point. And they need him so bad to have a pop game. And I don't know how or what it looks like when you have this offensive line and you know that they're going to utilize him to chip and stay in and block. And I just,
you know,
I feel like this might be a lost year for the guy. And that sucks.
Part of the reason
but an underwhelming season, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But you know, if we keep going here and moving forward, it's going to come down to the quarterback making some throws.
No doubt.
Can the quarterback make throws? Because we're talking about pop games.
Same conversation.
We have, and that's why I get a headache over it.
I know, and I'm sure the audience does too. And I don't mean it like that.
Think about it. Third play of the game in the NFC Championship game.
He's wide open.
Those are the pop plays we're talking about. Those are the pop plays you have to take advantage of.
Yeah.
Those are the pop plays that have been missing from this offense over the last two seasons. And why? It's because the quarterback just can't make a throw. That's it. And that's sad, because last week the talking point was the quarterback gives you a better chance to win now.
He can't play any worse than what he did last week. Yeah. He's got to have a better game this week. He has to. Like, there's just no way he could play that bad 2 weeks in a row.
All right, defense.
I can't see it.
Where's this defense rank with the best 49ers defenses in the last 20 years? 888-957-9570, because it feels like the defense may have to carry another one on Monday night for the 49ers to get that win and move to improve to 2-2. We'll talk about that and discuss that. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Ah!
the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Rest in peace, Coolio. Passed away yesterday at the age of 59. Congrats to Aaron Judge. He's going for 62 home runs in the American League lead, or the greatest American League season possibly all time when it comes to home run hitting. The Yankees will host the Orioles Friday, so with their pitching, I think Aaron Judge will get 62 this weekend in the Bronx. But congrats to Aaron Judge. Rest in peace to Coolio. Niners, Rams beat L.A. Monday Night Football, 5:15 kick. Rams come in at 2-1.
Dun, 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 dun.
Classic Niner-Rams games. We've had some classic ones on Monday Night Football. The John Taylor game. Who doesn't remember that? Anaheim Stadium. Monday Night Football, 92-yard quick slant.
The game that got him back on track last year.
Yeah, it was. It changed the season. Monday Night Football. Rams are 2-1. Stafford, 5 interceptions so far on the season. He will throw up, although last week he played a little bit better, but they limited his pass attempts. He was down to 25 pass attempts. Maybe there's something going on with that elbow. But we'll talk about the defense, because right now the Niners' defense is the talk of the town. Forget the quarterback. The quarterback is struggling. He's got to get on track. The offense has to get on track. They're going to need something from the offense. But this defense has been so good, we're probably being unfair to ask them to carry this football team.
Well, they
have a chance this week against the Rams in that beat-up offensive line.
The defense can carry this team, but you need to have complementary football on the other side that, you know, enables them to be their best. You can't turn the ball over and give them a short-sighted field, right? Trey Lance did that in week one, and we obviously see Jimmy Garoppolo do that in the game before, the game that we just watched. Like, you cannot have unsustainable drives.
Right.
I think the Niners defense caused, 8 3 and outs in this game?
Yeah.
Feel like the Niners just couldn't muster any first downs on their behalf. And I'm not saying you got to score on every possession, but at least move the ball a little.
Move it.
I'd like to see them run the ball a little better so that the clock ticks off, too, to kind of allow this defense to catch their breath. But the key thing for me when I watch this team, it feels like to me they've got multiple players at every level of the defense who is good to great.
Right.
Hufanga and Ward, Mooney Ward, look good to great to me. Okay, you want to throw Mosley in there? I'll listen to that. When Jimmy Ward comes back, I think it adds another guy. I look at the linebackers. Greenlaw and Warner, good to great, right? At some level, no matter what you think of those guys. Then you look at the defensive line. When Armstead's in there, I think he's really good. Bosa's clearly great. You know, Kinlaw has flashed and shown good. Ibukim has shown good.
Drake Jackson
has shown good.
Gibbons.
So the thing for me, when I look at that entire defense as a whole, they've got good to great, multiple guys at every level of the defense.
So with that said, what can make this defense greater? Right now they've been good, but there's a caveat. Played against Chicago.
Of course.
One of the worst offenses of pro football.
Undeniable.
We played against Seattle and Geno Smith.
They might be a top five team drafting this year. We'll see when the year shakes down.
And in Denver.
Offense does not look good.
Does not look good right now.
It looks like a work in progress, to say the least.
So the defense hasn't really seen a top flight offense. This probably is the best offense they've played so far.
Yeah, this is a big test.
It's a big test. McVay, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Cam Akers, no Whitworth, and they still have a defense that shut down Arizona last week. That's no easy task to shut down Kyler Murray. Mm-mm. We can say what we want about Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. He's still a dynamic player, and the Rams have their number. So they beat him up in Glendale last week. And you know the Rams. They're thinking, let's just shut them up. They're going to continue to talk about the six-game winning streak. We're going to talk about the NFC Championship game. Let's go to Levi's and get one and improve to 3-1. The Rams could take control of this division with they win.
Yeah.
They can. They'll be up 3-1 with a tie break so far over the Niners and the Cardinals. This defense this week has to take the ball away. They have to force an interception. They have to force fumbles. And I think that's what can make them great. You want to put them in a category with 2011?
Mm-hmm.
You want to put them in that category with 2019? Well, this defense has to start forcing turnovers.
You know, the thing I can't shake out of my head when I'm just thinking about the Niners as a whole, offense, defense, whatever you want to call it, we keep talking about, like, D'Amico Ryans. And he's doing great this year, right? And when he first stepped onto the scene, I didn't really know. I thought it was a big question mark. You know, what's he going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
They've already lost to two rookie head coaches. Because I'm keep comparing Shanahan to this guy and that guy. I'm like, they've lost to two rookie coaches.
I know.
Right? And so I'm looking at this coaching staff as a whole, and at least specifically on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm like, I'm not happy with the quarterback play either. But at some point, we got to figure something out here, guys. We got to get this thing going. And so that's my biggest thing. Like, I know what the D is going to keep this team in the game.
Right.
Can this offense do anything against Raheem Morris?
I don't know.
That defense?
That's a million-dollar question. I wonder. To the segment,
isn't that
kind of
crazy that they lost to two rookie coaches?
Yeah, Matt
Eberflus. Because I was like looking at McVay, right, and I'm looking at Shanahan.
Matt Eberflus and Nathaniel Hackett. And people were ripping Nathaniel Hackett.
I was.
They were calling him the worst coach of football. And they just got a win over Shanahan. Matt Eberflus has a win over Shanahan. I don't know what I'm going to see from this offense, but it feels like if they don't win this football game, then the trend of bad offensive football, just enough defense to stay in the game, that will continue
as the
schedule ramps up.
If I gave you $100 right now, you know what? I give you $500,000 right now. Are you putting it on the 49ers scoring more than 20 or less than 20?
Scoring less than 20. Scoring less than 20. I got them. This could be like a 16-13 game. A 17-13 game. Like, how much faith do you have the Niners in moving the ball up and down the field against this Rams defense with Aaron Donald and this offensive line looking shaky?
Now
they get the extra
day
off.
I don't have a lot of faith in
it. You know what I'm saying?
And I feel like their linebacking core is much improved, because that was the one area where I always said, like, oh, you could beat them in the middle of the field. I'm not sure you can do that still.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, boy. I don't know. By the way, we got some things going on in the studio. Mark Willers having a nice little conversation. Aaron Donald, A'Shaun Robinson, who also had a big-time NFC championship
game. Yes, he did.
Out of Alabama.
He
really took over. So the running game.
Good call.
If the Niners aren't running the football, how can they have set up time to throw? And it always leads back to the offense and the quarterback just making a couple throws. Bobby Wagner, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey, Taylor Rapp. Stephens is really, really good.
But I look at our offense, and I'm like, we have too many good players. Even though the O-line is not great, and I know the quarterback play is suspect at times, they have too many great players to not score 20? 20? With an offensive-minded head coach?
Divisional game.
I mean, I get it, league, because I didn't know that, but Jason Aponte said through three games, league scoring is down right now.
Defenses
are ahead of the offenses.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's why you're going to get people talking about the preseason, saying maybe you should play a couple more series in the preseason, because now look at the month of September. Offenses look decrepit. Half of these offenses look decrepit. Can't even move the ball. Can't even throw the ball. Justin Fields, go ask him to throw the ball.
He's completed 8 passes on Sunday, and they won.
And they won the football game.
So, I mean, you
must
know,
be nice.
Whatever.
Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob, what's happening? You're on the roast, listening via the car radio. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, fellas?
Yep. What up?
And we need Jimmy G to step it up. I'm not getting off his stroke. We need Jimmy G to step it up, because when Trey was playing his first game, they was ready to get rid of the guy because he didn't perform well in the storm. But they forget about last year when Jimmy Garoppolo almost threw out the playoffs. Who they put in the game to throw from the pocket to make plays to save our season? Was it Nick Mullins? No, it was Trey Lance. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna need Jimmy Garoppolo to play better. I don't want this defense wasted. And in my opinion, we've seen this 2011, 2012, 2019, if 2020, 2021. If your offense can't really score a lot of points, you're gonna put, not 2012, they score points, but you're gonna put too much pressure on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one bad play.
Mm-hmm.
They can play good the whole game. Example, I remember you remember in 2014 against Seattle. And it was a close game. We were playing great. And then Reed took a bad angle on Marshawn.
Mm-hmm.
He went 50 to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is one bad play. So Jimmy has to play better, bottom line. And I'm going to keep the pressure on him. And Kyle, too. Because everybody at locker room who ran this, Mike Silver, talking about, oh, we're a better football team. I'm going to need all them guys to step up and make it for Jimmy's mistakes. No excuses. We got to get this ball.
No doubt. And you know what, Rob, good call. And that's the thing. If they didn't run to Michael Silver and say what they said, maybe we wouldn't be this intense in our pressure on Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. But the fact that people did run to Michael Silver a day when Trey Lance broke his fibula and he tore ligaments in his ankle, the day that happens, the guys are saying, well, Jimmy does give us a better chance to win. Okay, then show me. You can't backpedal now and say, oh, Jimmy was who we all thought he was. No. You got a lot of people said Jimmy gives his team a better chance to win. Now, this week is pretty funny. I haven't heard from Mike Martz. I haven't heard from Michael Lombardi.
Oh.
I've seen Cowher backpedal and say, how come we're not giving Jimmy the same excuse that we give Brady and Stafford? Because Jimmy's not Brady and Stafford, Colin Cowher. Okay? Where are those people at now? Now everybody's saying, oh, well Jimmy gives him a better chance to win. Where are all those people at? Rob's right. Jimmy does need to step up.
No doubt.
He needs to step up. Kittle needs to step up. Whatever they need to do to figure this offensive football out and move into the 2022s and not revert back to the 1970s with offensive football, something needs to pop. And it's on them.
He's right.
You can't put pressure. Dante Pettis changed the game in one play.
No, I doubt.
That one play changed the entire game in week one.
The Russ making a couple plays in that one, you could feel the momentum shifting. Let me ask you a philosophical question. We don't do this in football as often. We don't use this phrase. Slumps.
Yeah.
We do it in other sports. Curry's in a shooting slump.
Right.
Mark Grace is in a hitting slump. You know what I mean? We do this in other sports. I believe there are plays on the field. Jimmy wasn't hitting them, fine. But I also don't think that Kyle has been the greatest this year in general.
He's in a play-calling slump?
I'm just asking. I guess I'm asking, do you see kind of a slump? Like what? I think he's good. That doesn't mean he can't be criticized, and that doesn't mean that you don't have bad times. Like even Bill Walsh talked about there were times where he would go through a funk.
Right.
Do you subscribe to the coaching slump?
I do.
Even a little. Kind of
a little.
We do with players, I believe.
We do. Coach can't dial up a right play. Coach doesn't call a timeout when you need a timeout.
Your feel
is just a little off. Right. Yeah, like in basketball. Team's on a run, and you're letting the team just go on a run. It's like, yo, how many times have we screwed it to television? Yo, call a timeout.
Yeah.
They're on an 18-2 run. You may want to stop action real quick and make an adjustment.
Exactly.
Baseball managers pulling the wrong reliever or pulling out a starting pitcher where you're like, oh, I'm going to the reliever. Maybe he went to the reliever too early. Having to fill for the game, which Kapler hasn't had a lot of this season. Yeah. Let's just be honest. I do believe it slumps.
Yeah,
I do believe
it
slumps.
Too.
And these teams have made adjustments on Shanahan and his offense. So when he said on Monday, you know, the Debo thing, a lot of teams know it's coming and they're not surprised by it. And, you know, we got to figure something out there. It's on you, Kyle.
Well,
figure it out.
I'm looking at the Rams and I'm asking out loud, could this be a slump buster? Somebody that you know so well and they know you so well and you really can't. You're not going to, like, surprise them, per se, but you understand what the soft parts of their team are and what the strengths of their team are so well that you almost can't have a bad game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I look at some of these division matchups, these big ones,
and
it's going to be tight. I feel like this could be a slump buster game for both Jimmy and for Kyle.
Yep. And it could be a game that gets sideways. Do you have a lot of confidence? Are you confident going into this Monday night?
No. No, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they totally shut everyone up and had a great game. Because Jimmy's erratic. Like, that's the other, like, he's so consistent. No.
No, he's erratic.
He's dramatically erratic.
It's the reason why we coined the Jimmy O'No throws.
Yeah, he's erratic. But I also believe that this team offensively is erratic at times. Like, there's games that Kittle gets 12 targets, and then there's games he gets one. You know, Ayuk looks like he's going to move forward. Yeah, this is who he is. And then he goes back into the witness protection program.
MDK1 on YouTube. More of a rut than a slump, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Not bad.
We're parsing words.
Yeah, no doubt. That's
not
bad.
I'm with that.
But Fazil and Fremont.
They are in a rut.
Yeah,
I would agree that. They are in a rut.
They got to get out of it on Monday night. Fazil and Fremont. Watching via YouTube. What's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, Bonta and Shasky. Hope all is well.
What up?
I'm going to be there Monday night against the 49ers-Rams games. I'm going to be there with my sister. I'm just like, I don't want to waste this all-time probably a great defense that we have. Like we've had in 2011, 2012, 2013, and we had in 2019. And it all ended up on the short end.
Mm.
I don't want to waste with this team that we have right now, this well-constructed roster. We need to get our offense together. Jimmy needs to step it up. Like this past Sunday night, my dad lost his mind when he stepped out of the end zone and threw that pick six on the same play.
Yeah, that was wild.
He threw a pick and I was losing myself. I was like, we're not winning this game. I was like, even though it's, 7-5 at that time, I was like, we're not winning this game.
What?
They need to get their act together. Just like last year, it was something like this. We were 3-5. It was week 10. Everyone threw in the towel, including myself. And they came. It was a Monday night game, and they came out and they played absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
I hope the defense carries its way, and I hope they step it up, they get their stuff together, and they get this victory on Monday night.
This is big.
Am I too jaded? He brought up the Jimmy stepping out of bounds. Am I too jaded where we're in this bubble? I feel like the butt fumble and the butt kick. like, are all way bigger stories than the running out of the bounds thing. Like,
and the running out of bounds thing should be bigger, right? Because you're a quarterback. How many quarterbacks we see? Yeah, how many quarterbacks you see take a snap from the end zone, run a play action pass? Hell, Trey Lance did. I know it's preseason, but he did in the preseason game 2 years ago.
It would be on a nonstop loop on every
nonstop
channel.
Oh, he's not ready. Trey Lance had a play action pass on the goal line last year in the preseason and threw a dime to Ross Dwelly from the goal line, from the 1 yard line. So I do see play action there, but it's got to be quicker. That play was just trash. It was too long developing.
But do you get where I'm going? But it feels like I'm being real. Like, it just feels like to me we just insulate Jimmy at every turn as a media, as a whole. It feels like he gets very little criticism in general. Now, I know this station, we've crushed him a lot, and our fan base has crushed him a lot the entire time. But nationally, I just don't see that kind of criticism.
Yeah, no, it's Jimmy gets a pass. I mean, the Jimmy Ghosting story.
If Geno Smith ran out of bounds, wouldn't we be destroying him?
But the Jimmy Ghosting story, right? If that was Lamar Jackson. Oh, well, if that was any other quarter, it would have been a huge deal. And some people just swept it under the rug. Remember, I got mad at the beat writer saying, wait a minute, we're just, oh, yeah, that's just Jimmy. We've all known about it. That should be a big story. The quarterback, the franchise leader, the guy who has posters all over Levi's Stadium is ghosting the team? How's that not a bigger story? You know, whether or not I believe it is one thing.
I'm with you.
But it's just the way Jimmy's covered, man. It's really weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
It's just weird. Let's go to Jeff in Concord. Jeff, he's watching on YouTube.
I find it weird.
Yeah, Jeff's on the morning roast. What's happening?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Jeff. Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Bonte, I wanted to get your take on one thing.
What about mine?
You know, you just said that if Jimmy or if Trey had stepped out of the end zone, this would be, you know, on a loop. And I have to ask you, how much of this do you think is because Jimmy's a good-looking white guy and Trey's a black guy? Do you think race is involved in any of this?
I don't want to blame it on race. I don't want to blame it on race.
You know what? I knew you're the black guy.
But the black quarterback does get covered differently, and it's pretty ironic that the players of the month in the NFL are two black quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. They're the players of the month.
Would you mind if I speak on my behalf, but also for others?
Sure.
Okay. As the white guy, not that it disqualifies or qualifies me to have it. The number one attribute for Trey Lance coming out was intelligence.
Yep.
Intelligence. Mm-hmm. The number one story from every person that I trust with the 49ers who told me why they chose Trey Lance was that when they went into that room and they talked with him and they got on that whiteboard and they started writing things up. Remember the old quarterback Gruden things?
Yep.
They were blown away at his intelligence, his football IQ, and his ability to absorb information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My number one knock on Jimmy Garoppolo is football intelligence. I sometimes don't think he sees the field. I just don't think he sees the field.
Yep.
Right? Now you can say, Joe, how many quarterbacks see the field? I don't know. But it feels like to me, the way we talk about Trey Lance, running quarterback, and to me, there is an automatic assumption, not smart enough, and I don't think everyone's doing this, but a lot of people, not smart enough to know where to throw the ball. That's the way it feels like it's landing on my lap. And it really, really, really bugs me.
Well,
and I can't understand for the life of me where we went from 2020. He was drafted because of intelligence and because of his IQ. Yes, the physical gifts, of course. But the big difference between him and Justin Fields, between him and Mac Jones, was he blew them away on the whiteboard.
Right.
And yet we've gotten so far away from that.
Yep.
And it's never brought up once as one of his attributes.
Right.
The first thing we go to is running.
Right.
Mobility.
And he's not that.
And it's intelligence. And the number one knock I have for Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not mobility or lack thereof. It's not even arm strength. It's decision making. It's football IQ. And yet everyone's afraid to address it. And it really, really bugs me. Again, as the resident white guy, that's all. It bugs me.
There's a clip circulating yesterday from Colin Cowherd. This is before Sam Darnold went number 3 overall. This is before Baker Mayfield went number 1 overall to Cleveland. Cowherd was saying, Lamar Jackson? He's not even the same league as Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. It's not even close. said it's not even close.
He was so high on Sam Darnold.
Bill Polian, LaMarcia moved to wide receiver. Right off the rip. Just moved to wide receiver. And now you look at this. 4 years later, Lamar Jackson's about to get a big-time payday. He's being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Sam Darnold is closer to being out the league than he is to playing on the football field. Sam Darnold stinks. Oh, he said Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen was the guy. Josh Rosen's not in his league either. So, yes, there is a way we talk about black quarterbacks, and we never bring up the intelligence. We never do. War Moon never gets talked about for intelligence, right?
But it bugs me. It bugs me,
I mean,
right?
And how do you think so, I feel?
Well, and the other part of this is, and this is just, when I look at emotional maturity and self-awareness, Trey checks both those boxes at the
podium. He takes accountability all the time.
All the time. All the time. That's what I'm looking for in my quarterback. I don't care what color you are. Right. I want the best player, period.
Well,
I don't care who you are.
What was disappointing about Jimmy last week, or in the last 2 weeks? One, it's like riding a bike. I feel so comfortable with these players. I feel so comfortable in the huddle. It's like riding a bike. Use check. That's 49er football. The very next week, you hear, yeah, not having a training camp at OTAs has set me back. Arm sore. It's going to take some time. It's going to be a work in progress. Well, now we don't want to hear that. Once you said it was like riding a bike, now we expect you to play up to your capabilities, whatever that is. Last week, he didn't play up to his capabilities. And then he blamed it on not having a training camp at OTAs. Said the arm was sore. Said it's going to take time. Well, guess what, Jimmy? And to everybody else who said this team was better with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, we don't have time to wait. Because if you lose this game on Monday night, you're 1-3. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, you may be 3-5 going into the bye week. Hell, you may be 2-6. This team could spiral out of control because Carolina has a defense. Like, this is not getting easier for the 49ers after this week. We all think that East Coast trip is easy. But how do you think these defenses are feeling against Jimmy Garoppolo? They're watching the same film we all watch. And they're better at it. Rams are saying, Jimmy, wow, we get to play against this guy. You don't think Carolina and Burns coming off the edge saying, we get to play against this guy. Atlanta and the new Mercedes-Benz show, they got number 10 quarterback. They're salivating to play Garoppolo right now in this offense. So, race always has something to do with when it comes to quarterbacks. It's so different how we cover
it. It's so different.
And it's
it really makes me angry. And it's not everyone. I'm not saying it's everyone. But it's hard for me to, overlook it. And it's so obvious now where it shouldn't be this way. But we're here. And look, Josh Allen. If Josh Allen looked like Lamar Jackson, I think we would talk about him in a different way. He's running all over the place and people are loving it. But you can't play that way. It's not sustainable.
But he's throwing for the pocket, though. You see him last week in New England?
No, he does throw from
the pocket. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, he does. That's the way he plays the game.
He's been to the playoffs. Herbert hasn't.
I mean, there's a lot going on with the Herbert situation with Staley. They're very injured. I'm not in on that coach at all.
Yeah, the Chargers, they're just going to be Chargers. By the way, tomorrow, don't forget, 3 a.m., little Warriors basketball. They're playing in Tokyo, Japan against the Wizards. We're going to carry it live right here on 95.7 The Game at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Plus, we'll replay it at 6 p.m. on 95.7 The Game, your home for Warriors basketball. With that said, let's flex.
I look at this team right now. This feels on Monday night like their stiffest test in terms of offensive weaponry that they've faced yet.
It is.
Cooper Kupp is the best. He was the triple crown winner of wide receivers last year. Catches, yards, touchdowns.
Yep.
And then you're going up against, I would say, a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the top 5 to 6 offensive minds in the league. In Sean McVay?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt he's one of the 5-6 offensive minds in this league. And look, Stafford, he will throw a couple up, but last week he only took one sack. One sack last week. Did not throw an interception. That gets him into trouble. But if you put pressure on him, he will throw it up. And you can hit him and fluster him and rattle him.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
getting our Run DMC on there. We're going back and forth.
Back and forth, little boom.
I'm the king of rock.
I'm excited for you, Joe. Ever since we made a thing out of the Bonte Flex of the Day streak,
right.
I feel like you've been on every single day since. Well, it feels a little reactionary, Sam. But
you got the sympathy flex on Friday.
The sympathy flex.
And now he's been dominating me. Now I can't even get in there.
Yeah,
now he's getting all the love.
Come on, let Bonte cook. Just once this week.
Let me cook.
Tomorrow's Friday. Let Bonte cook.
You know what's messed up? The masses on my flex moment. We're calling me all type of clowns, and your take sucks. This week, when Shasky getting all the flex, oh, man, that's great. He's just preaching. Yeah. Oh, this is a sermon. Oh, it's like, damn.
If you don't get called clown twice, then you didn't even do a show.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the one thing I actually dread being on the Xfinity Flex, because the Instagram comments.
Right, oh, my gosh. Right. They come. Oh, dude.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's real on IG, I would say Joe. I do, but we don't get any Instagram love on our show.
I'm sorry.
I mean, other than Doc Pandya. So we get some Doc Candy every Wednesday.
Michael Silver.
What was it, 2 years ago?
10 o'clock.
Yeah, don't miss it.
Two years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, we first started posting things like that, and I had made a throwaway line. I was like, yeah, I like James Harden. Like, I don't even know what the context was, but it was this long debate, and it was one little throwaway line, and that was what got posted, and it was like, Shasky likes Harden, agree or not, and I just...
Oh, he got
so perfect.
It was cold.
I got cooked so bad.
That's a tough take in this town.
I felt like I was cooking at the Irish Center, because everything was well done.
Corned beef and cabbage, at least a three, maybe a four. Yeah. Irish cooking, by the way, among the worst in the world.
I'm Irish. Think about this. I am too. They're the only of all of the different countries that doesn't have their own cuisine. Think about it. What is Irish cooking? Curry?
No, Irish cooking is steamed. We're going to steam everything. We're going to steam the cabbage. We're going to steam the corned beef.
Shepherd's pie isn't theirs. It's British.
Dude, it's brutal.
Right? Like, all of their things aren't their own. Like, they don't even have their own, like, little angle. It's kind of sad.
Irish cuisine is Guinness. It's a Guinness properly poured any time of the day. That's Irish cuisine.
I'll let it stand. Corned beef. I mean, you don't even want to know how corned beef is made.
Have you been to Ireland, by the way?
No, my dad just went for golf, and it's on my bucket list.
You need to go.
K Club.
I was lucky to be there twice for St. Patty's Day. Well, the first time was when you guys were in grammar school. I went to Dublin, 1993.
Oh, nice.
Got off the boat in Cork, took a train. You show up in Dublin.
Did you get mugged
by McGregor? At 9 a.m. No, but you go to Dublin on St. Paddy's Day.
Part of it again.
And it's a church day. It's a church day.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's in church. The streets are empty until about 12 o'clock. Church gets out, and it is absolute anarchy. You want to talk about 11-year-olds drinking?
Oh, yeah.
Packs of fourth graders roaming the streets, bottles in hands.
Nice.
Oh, I mean, you've never seen pre-adolescents half in the bag before noon before.
Sigmund Stern Grove on a Saturday during the summer?
Dude, Stern Grove, but that's like 16, 17-year-olds. And I love a Stern Grove. And most of that is like, oh, we have an orchestra going on.
Yes.
This is absolute Irish anarchy in Dublin.
Let me go to Dublin. Here's a great crap.
My dad says that everybody, it's so clean over there because everyone takes such great pride in their homes and they paint everything. And so you don't see like jalopies hanging out in front of the house. And, you know, I'm gripping the Excelsior. So you got to have 5 broken down cars in the driveway and seal the garage door shut and all that. You don't have none of that stuff over there.
No, and I appreciate your use of jalopy, by the way.
It's a great word.
It's
been gone for a while.
I mean, hoopty's a little bit more, you know, but jalopy. Jalopy, you know, your car on blocks, exactly. In the Excelsior. Yeah, so good.
That is good. Where are we going? Where are we going?
Before we go anywhere,
I want to let Bonte cook.
Well, I want to go back to where you guys
were,
way back, when you guys were hitting me with Rumpf and Peterson. You guys were like name dropping your way through an entire hour, and it was awesome.
Okay.
I'm stuck in Baybridge traffic, and you guys are dropping names, and I'm like, oh my god, I forgot about him, Booby. Dixon?
Boobie.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Boobie.
Josh Gordon? Is it Joshua?
Remember that?
Josh. Oh, my God. The way you guys were going through
You guys, I don't know if you noticed, we've never really addressed it. You two are kind of the Sean McVay of sports radio. Do you remember that thing when he was asked about when he was with Washington?
Exactly. Yeah.
And he could pull a play from 13 years ago and who ran what and what were, like,
I
could give you this year's 49ers roster.
Maybe.
Like hell if you want to ask me what happened in 2016. It's gone.
It is gone.
I know.
I have no clue what happened, nor do I care.
And you two were one-upping each other in the right way. Yes. Like, you weren't trying to, like, show the other guy that you knew more, but you guys were just swapping names.
Rounding out the depth chart.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
We have a sickness. Like, I'm thinking about a shared sickness.
It's like you're giving it back and forth to each other.
I'm thinking about those Niner teams, though, and I'm like, man, the wild card they lost to the Packers. Mike McKenzie pulled the Richard Sherman. Remember that?
Garcia,
and that was a first down pass.
Wide open T.O.
It was a first down pass. Speaking of first down passes, T.O.'s like, and he had to throw a first down pass, and they never got the ball back because Ahmed Green ran it up their throats.
So, Bonte, go back.
First down pass on Sunday.
Did you hear what I just got out of that? They got that whole statement. You go, you remember that?
No.
I know. I don't remember any of it.
Mark, I took Bart yesterday. I park in MacArthur Bart when traffic's bad. I get off Bart in MacArthur in Oakland, and I'm walking down West Street, and I'm like, holy crap, I don't remember where I parked my car.
Oh, well.
Did I park on 42nd?
Did you do the math?
Seinfeld. Dude, I'm wandering down Market Street in Oakland, and you guys are pulling depth charts for 2007. I mean,
maybe that makes everyone feel good about last Sunday night, because 7 years from now, you two are the only ones that are going to remember that Jimmy 100%. Garoppolo ran out of the back of the end zone. I'll be like he did.
I don't know if anybody's forgetting that.
What was the final score?
Jimmy
who?
11-10.
How do you spell it?
Garoppolo what?
Don't remember him.
That's one thing. We will never forget Jimmy Garoppolo. I swear, since Matt Nahigas comes to the station, and since we started 2017, I was here for a year. We've gone through every step of the way with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
That's why part of it is just like, I just can't wait for this era to be gone. I want to talk about something other
than Jimmy. But it's never going to be gone.
Never.
Wait till you hear how they figure out to keep him next year. It's going to be so great.
He's the Kelby Tomlinson of the Niners. We keep calling him back up.
Keep calling him back.
Look at you again.
Specs.
Lakers brother.
Tomlinson. I swear to God, he got optioned 7,000 times in one season.
I swear to God, I've never seen someone who looks less like a professional athlete in my life. If I stuck him next to any one of us, and you just put a picture on the street and said, which one of these is a professional athlete, they would have picked us. And look at us.
He was super religious.
I mean,
he made plays, though.
He was super religious.
Well, him and Sogard had the same specs.
Yes.
Remember when Sogard was player of the year?
Face of baseball.
Face
of baseball.
Face of baseball.
Eric Sogard.
So let me ask you guys a question, just for on baseball real quick. Last night, the just the national narrative on Judge, which was awesome. We all agree.
Sorry.
This is my problem with baseball.
What did I do?
I love baseball so much. We always find a way to just poop on everything. And instead of living in the moment like, wow, look how great this is. It's triple crown leader, greatest contract year ever. It's let's condemn the steroid era that's been dead and buried for a long, long time. And it's the same people who were making $1 million or whatever off of selling newspapers during that era who turned a blind eye or decided to vote in guys who were part of that same era. It's just a jumbled mess, and we can't get out of our own way.
There's a lot of dynamics going on here, and part of it is, like, have you guys ever been to Notre Dame? You ever been to a football game?
No, I was going to go a couple weeks ago.
You'll get hit. Yeah, I've been twice.
So, whatever.
Yeah, I've been twice.
So, no, here's, here's why. Here's why I bring it up. If you ever go there, you are hit in the face 1,000 times by we are better than you.
Yes.
We know everything about college football. This is Notre Dame. And you get there at a time where I'm like, you guys all realize that's not the case anymore, right?
Yeah. Show me, like, check us. Go for a touchdown. It's 1931, and here, the Notre Dame Irish are winning.
Here's the answer.
Coach has a good impersonation to that, too. He's
really
good
at that. Here's the answer. No, they don't. They still are wearing green jackets in the press box during the game. They still think Notre Dame is Notre Dame. And you're like, wow, you guys have never been outside, have you? And I feel this way about the Yankees. A lot of this, the Yankees... they are trying to grab this record and pull it back in-house. It's the American League record. It's the Yankees record. It's happening in the same uniform.
Yeah.
Maris, Ruth, Judge. I'm sorry, guys. It's not there anymore.
Right?
It's not there anymore. And if you want to start challenging things that happened because you don't like the way they happened – I'm sorry, the United States is probably not a country. Like, we cannot challenge things because we don't like exactly. how they happened. Well, they happened.
And you're the team happened. That signed Jason Giambi. You're the team that actually
the
fielded.
Giambino.
You fielded Andy Pettit, who was also a steroid user, right. and A-Rod served the longest suspension in the history of baseball.
Roger Clemens. Exactly. Is in George's the box.
I mean. But, like, all of us. And then, let's take it another step. Roger Maris Jr. Look, okay. I don't want to crush the guy.
They're coming up at 9:45.
But is this what we're going to do?
So Roger Maris Jr.?
Exclusive. Like one day when Brady, like let's say, passes away and somebody just hypothetically.
Wow, that got serious quick.
Well, anyway. You know, he breaks Brady's record of 7 yeah. Super Bowls or whatever. Let's get Tom Brady the 4th on right now. I want to hear what he thinks about how legitimate this record is. I could care less.
Well, no, this is actually a great point because if somebody had just called Roger Maris Jr. and he was at his house, I'm cool. Dude, you showed up for a press conference with the Yankees logo, and by the way, you were on the field with Mark McGwire
said that
back
earlier.
When he broke
hugging
the record.
Crying.
Yeah, like yeah. It feels very gravy train. Like I'm glad your name's the same, and your dad,
yes.
by the way, who has fewer homers than Ryan Klesko career.
He was like, Brady Anderson of his era.
He went to California
Angels and did nothing.
So I'm trying to say this without accusing anyone. No, but I want to say this without accusing anyone because I don't know. But if we're going to get high and mighty on clean versus dirty, I have no idea what Roger Maris was doing, and I have no idea what Aaron Judge is doing. I mean, Aaron Judge in the minor leagues was not, I mean, he used to hit about 15 homers a year. So what happened?
He was Joey Gallo.
Right. Was it natural? I think. I hope.
Look, I'm enjoying it. Who cares? That's where I'm at. I'm enjoying. He's on the field. It's happening. Like, that's the way I view the whole steroid era. It happened.
Well, everything that happened, happened. And I made this analogy, and Mark was talking about America before, and let's talk about the 2000 election and, you know, Gore versus Bush. And whatever happened, happened. Whoever won that election, we'll never know. Maybe Bush did beat Gore. Maybe the hanging chads were an issue. But you know what happened? You know what happened was
you're going deep.
Bush
here.
Was in office for 4 years.
Yes.
So we can talk about whatever happened or didn't happen. Was it fair or unfair? Was it cheating or not cheating? Was the election stolen? It was tremendous. It was a steal. Stop the steal. Well, you know what? You lost, dog, and now Biden's in office.
Exactly.
So whatever happens is actually what happens. Bonds and Clemens and Pettit and A-Rod and all the rest of them, we don't know how many guys juiced. Bottom line, his bat hit the ball 73 times over the fence, and the guy who presided over it is in the hall.
I'm with you.
The real record.
And Bonds juiced. No one's denying that.
But
it happened.
Of course. It doesn't mean that steroids make you a great player. Because if that was the case, Armando Rios would have hit 800 home
runs.
Steroids
make you better than you were.
It makes you better, but like, a lot of times
it's an accelerator for sure.
There's a reason you're taking them.
Right.
I agree with you, Mark.
PEDs were way, and maybe still are, way more prevalent in the minor leagues than they are in the majors. Because most people are not worried about breaking home run records. They're worried about getting a contract and surviving in the game. So the minor leaguers, especially back at that time, like this is a proven fact. These guys, they're just trying to get a contract.
Fernando Tatis Jr. just got suspended this year.
Once you get your deal, you got your deal.
Yes.
And that's it. And
Diego Maradona scored the most famous goal in World Cup history with his fist, the hand of God.
Yes.
He did not hit the ball with his head. He punched it in. Argentina wins the World Cup. They didn't strip Argentina of the World Cup, even though it happened.
Franco Harris dropped the ball.
Reggie Bush
jumped over a UCLA defender and won the Heisman.
Look at you.
And it has nothing to do with who bought a house.
Thank you. You're not 300
miles away.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it happened.
So whatever happens, it happened. And if it happens, and if Bonds hit 73 and he's on the juice and we don't know who else on the juice, it happened. And by the way, I was going to ask you guys, do you know who the AFC record holder is for most yards from scrimmage? Of course you don't.
O.J. Simpson?
I'm going to say all time.
Eric doesn't
Dickerson,
know either. He's trying
Eric
to make
Dickerson,
a point.
Indianapolis Colts.
The point is the NFC.
No, it would be L.A. Rams.
The NFC, AFC records are, they're not a thing.
Yeah. Not
so
a thing,
the American League, National League records, they're not a thing either. We have interleague. Next year we're going to a balanced schedule.
That's a great question.
I hate to call these guys out like that.
I love this.
With their memory mark, they should know. But, you know.
Seriously. I'm going to go Dan Marino, O.J. Simpson, you know, John Elway.
Well, that's,
maybe.
That's yeah, quarterbacks. I don't. You were
but
he
said scrimmage yards. Oh, so, okay. You know,
but I mean, I could even say, we'll like, in the NBA, who's the Eastern Conference record holder right. for field no, goals no, in a no season? Clue. I mean, nobody no knows.
Carmelo.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway. Sad. Those writers hate Bonds that much.
Yes.
To where it's American League record for home runs. Like, I never heard. Like, when McGuire was chasing a record and Simpson, nobody ever said that. That's such a great point, dude.
If it was Tony Gwynn who broke the record, it would be a whole different thing. But Bonds was a guy who was a jerk.
Great.
And that's why.
And the nail in the coffin on this is we've already asked Aaron himself.
Yes.
And he's like, Bonds, he's because I watched it.
He did a video.
I stayed up late at night watching that, and I loved it. Will you stop this? If Aaron says that, what are the rest of us doing?
And he did a video tribute what for him that day. And the whole thing is nuts. The Bud Selig thing drives me crazier than ever. Everyone talks about the tie and what he did during the steroid
era. Nothing we could do.
What I think is actually his worst criminal act is the small market revenue sharing thing, where he was the owner of the Brewers, transferred ownership to his daughter, changed all the rules so that his small market team could get a welfare check from the big boys, and we actually realized it really didn't help baseball at all.
It's helped the A's.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Got quiet.
Exactly. So, like, Bud Selig, he drives me crazy the way we look at him, and I can't stand him, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. And this is what the other argument is. Well, Barry's got a lot of stuff in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I don't like. I don't get triggered anymore on who's in the Hall of Fame because I just don't give a rip. Like, the whole process is just it's so silly. But like, the idea of unwriting history
is
just not something that's going to work. It's not going to work. And you're pointing it out. Everybody who's speaking on this is doing it with their own self interest involved.
Of course.
And maybe some of us are too because we live here in San Francisco and we watched it.
I'm going to defend my guy.
Right. But I mean, like, that's part of just human nature.
Well, part of rewriting history, the South actually won the Civil War. The North, they were on drugs. So it's BS. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not fair.
But again, instead of celebrating
in
how cool this is and like what we've got going, it's let's go back and let's try to adjudicate the history of the game.
Well, and look, I mean, even media circles, if on the East Coast, you're helped by. Like, make this a story.
Yeah.
And in many ways, this does. This you're saying, let's celebrate it. And I think they would respond by saying, we are. They're almost trying to make it bigger than it is.
Oh, so that's okay.
They're turning this into the home run record, which it's not. It's not. He doesn't have 71. He has 61.
No.
But how can we make this bigger? Well, let's act like this. Oh, do you think this actually is the home run record? And it's not. Did you see the Rolling Stone headline this morning?
No.
Rolling Stone literally has a headline this morning. Aaron Judge ties real home run record.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, that's an actual reputable media organization.
Is and there
just,
one?
Or we could say
I mean,
that.
There was
I
one? Mean,
right. And they're just like, yeah, let's just go with it.
That's Look, sad. I'm enjoying the Pujols year this year, right? But if Pujols was unlikable, you don't think with people would be thinking, what's going on here?
People already are.
My favorite was David Stern. Like, this is my favorite.
So, wait, so Jack Clark isn't dialed in? And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Clark was fired from his radio job because he stated what in industry circles was assumed, which was that Albert Pujols was dirty. He's been named before.
Yes.
We don't have proof, so I'm not going to go there. But Jack Clark just decided to say that because why? Somebody who played for the Cardinals has an axe to grind with Albert Pujols? Or maybe should we listen to what he said?
No,
I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that.
Stan Musial is the real Cardinal home run
Thank
king.
You.
Stan
Thank
the man, 24 Stan All-Stars.
Yeah.
Jose Oquendo.
Jose Oquendo, sorry. Thought you guys were going
If you're
going to
go
McGee.
Terry Pendleton, Willie McGee,
Shout out Coleman. Oakland, California.
Ozzie Smith.
Willie McGee.
Yeah, the Wizard. What about the Niners today? What about the Niners, you guys?
Well, okay, so what you guys think about this? There's a couple things that were bouncing around in my head. First of all, as a group, we have not really gotten too deep into smile games. Which was Jimmy Garoppolo having the nerve to smile while talking to
people
an ex.
People are upset about that?
Of course they are.
Right.
Are you upset about it?
I can't get over it.
No. Stop.
Sorry.
Well,
you
I
tried to sell it.
George Kittle was smiling after the game.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
George Kittle was smiling ear to ear.
So combine it with this. Combine it with this. And this is a part of the quote that I sort of either missed or I think it just got swept under the rug. This is back when Jimmy was being asked about being restructured and staying with the 49ers. Uh-huh. And he said, quote, at the time, when they said, why weren't you just released? Why didn't you ask for your release? Quote, that just wasn't the way I wanted to go. There was a thought of that at one point. Trust me, there was, but that came and went. I don't know. Things just kept falling into place. I'm one of those people that I don't really want to ruffle the feathers too much here and there. All right. I think accidentally he already has over the last week and a half, because we feel like we can kind of see into his soul a little bit, talking about how great 2017 was when he could throw the ball
and around. How your play calls suck.
Your play calls suck, if that's what he said. The conversation with Collinsworth, all of that. And I started to wonder, okay, if I'm Garoppolo and the organization, the story of what they've done the last couple of years, if I'm Garoppolo, and, okay, I don't want to ruffle feathers, but we all sort of feel like deep down there's more going on here. All right, and then he's smiling after maybe his most embarrassing night as a professional football player on Sunday Night Football. And you get to this question. Is Jimmy Garoppolo this year motivated to win football games for the San Francisco 49ers, or is he motivated by what happens next? And is that
self-preservation to get the next contract?
The contract.
Is what you're
getting there, and is that
some form of that?
So is that relevant? So the 49ers lose 11-10, and sure, it's a bad night. It's a bad night for his contract, right? But
pick eight.
So here's what two quick things. I've realized a lot of people and athletes react different in different situations. When it's like trauma or losing, Trevor Wilson, we were talking about, he had this anxiety problem where he'd be smiling the whole time no matter what, and that's just how he conducted himself. The pattern I've noticed, I'm not a doctor, I noticed that when Jimmy G has a bad game at the podium, one of his self-defense mechanisms is smiling and kind of like
chuckle.
That,
he's got a little chuckle.
Yeah, like a little chuckle. And I don't think it's meant to like downplay the situation. I think it's his own self-defense mechanism that he is kind of like a go-to on. But I do get what you're saying, because I kind of feel the same way, and I don't really blame him.
I don't either.
Well, they go hand in hand. I was telling Mark this. His own self-preservation is tied to the Niners' success. He can't go out.
Yes.
He's not going to get a chance to go out and throw for 4,800 yards, and they go 3-14. Mm-hmm. That's not the way that this goes. The only way he goes on to get what he wants is probably the Giants' job, because Danny Dimes is going to be gone.
Yeah.
You got to win. You got to be efficient. And you've got to play well. Mm-hmm. And so, at this point, I think those things go hand in hand. My bigger question is, what do we expect from our athletes? Do we really get that mad at a guy who smiles, at an athlete who swaps jerseys with a guy after a game, an athlete who pairs up in a business venture with the chief rival, Draymond Green?
Right.
Are these things that really trigger us?
Yeah, I don't get it. Because these players, especially in basketball at the AAU camps, football, you have the Elite 11 camps.
Odell
with the quarterbacks,
Beckham picking up Debo Samuel in the NFC Championship game is an example.
But you have all these players who grow up and play in these camps together and playing all these circuits and travel ball and all that stuff. They know each other. So it's like, when we're between the white lines or if we're on the floor, we're on the diamond, we're going to compete and I want to beat you. But after the game, if I want to swap jerseys, I think it's okay now because everybody knows each other these days, especially with social media.
No doubt. It's not just relationships, though. It's also the way, and I think, Joe, this is what you were kind of getting at, the way we process whatever has just happened
exactly.
is very different person to person. Let me read you this. This is a very, very close friend of mine. He's come on the show a bunch of times. You know him as well, Dibs. Aaron Oberholzer, who's now with the Golf Channel.
Golf,
that is professional golfer.
He'll sell me an EX wedge.
Yeah, you damn right he will.
And you need it, too. I've seen your short game.
Yeah, by the way, I know a guy, so if you want a deal, you'll let me know. Anyway,
my grandpa loves those infomercials.
Aaron's also just a Bay Area sports fan.
Yes.
And so on Twitter after the game, he wrote this, and it caught my attention.
What did he say?
Well, we totally disagree. This is what he writes. How can Jimmy be smiling seriously? As an athlete and a competitor after that loss, unacceptable. That makes me mad, not as a fan, but as a fellow professional athlete.
Huh.
George Kittle was smiling and laughing
after
the game.
Yes, he was.
On the field. In his uniform. Are we going to get on George Kittle? Are we going to get on Debo when he's high-fiving other opponents? Like, this is, we're trying to make this bigger than what it is. All I'm focused on is, Jimmy played bad during a football game.
Totally.
Right? What he said at the podium, or, well, some of what he said at the podium bothered me, because last week it was like riding a bike. This week it's like, oh, you need to train
again with OTAs.
Yeah. I'm out of sync. That bothered me a little bit. But on the field, we're not trying to lip read what he says. We're trying to look at pictures, a teammate he was roommates with in his lap. Like, I think it's much ado about nothing.
Ideally, and I'm not saying this is good. Fans want us. We want to see the players.
Angry.
Not even angry. Just like, show me that you care, right? That's what, like, the bare minimum.
There
show me that you care.
There
right?
it is, because there are roots in this. And the NFL.
Think like, about this. Hold on, real quick. Yeah. Think about this. He's laughing at the end of the game, but he's cursing out. These plays freaking
that's
suck,
in the
man.
Game. Yes,
blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
In the game. Look like he cared then, right?
Well, look, if the bottom line, and we know this in 2022, if we want to find something with a camera and then twist
it, find it.
Right. We can. There are roots here. This
except
is,
Brady breaking tablets.
There you go.
We've this destroyed
is,
that evidence.
This is very similar to me to Tony Romo with Jessica Simpson in Mexico. This is similar to me to Odell Beckham on the boat.
On the yacht,
right?
Miami.
And if you great think if you think that those things don't lead to stuff, I mean, it wasn't much longer until Tony Romo was replaced.
And McAdoo was done.
It wasn't much longer until Odell Beckham was traded.
Yeah.
So these things are sort of the precursor to what happens next if we collectively, and erroneously, in my opinion, decide that this one snapshot of a human being means they don't so give a rip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a legit question, and we started with this conversation yesterday,
right.
If I'm Jimmy, how am I feeling about playing for this team, for this fan base, based on what has happened the last
but
2 years?
But how does the fan base feel about him at the same time, where he doesn't even know where the back of the end zone is, and he's thrown his coach under the bus saying, your play calls suck, and now you're laughing after the game? Why do I, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, why do I, as a fan, care more about this than Jimmy Garoppolo does? And that's where the narrative starts to turn against athletes.
Brandon Belt, when he strikes out,
right.
he doesn't show enough anger.
That's a look, though. We know, like, Talk to Brandon Crawford for 2 minutes. He just has a low heart rate.
Yeah, he's stoic.
It's just like that's the way. It doesn't mean they don't care.
Think about this conversation.
Huh.
And think about how bad of a mistake it was to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back to this team.
Right now.
Think about this. Just think about all this.
Where would you be if you didn't have him?
Well, you probably wouldn't be here.
It'd be over.
It'd be Purdy, but
it
maybe
was genius to bring him back.
But Trey Lance maybe is used differently if you don't bring Jimmy back.
I don't believe. Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust him. Kyle Shanahan saw one way for Trey to be successful, and he went that way, and Trey got hurt.
This is why that's an indictment on Shanahan to draft a guy you think is not ready in year number two.
Agreed.
Shanahan should be getting a lot more heat for that.
Vontae, I definitely don't buy that you use Trey differently, but I buy your premise. I completely buy your premise, and it was what concerned me the day after they signed him, which is, yes, as a 49er fan, I'll be thankful today, because I feel like if your starting quarterback's out, you have a better chance to still have a season with Jimmy versus Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be thankful, but I can also go back to 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks ago and express the same concern I did then,
right.
which is that if you bring this guy back, you are asking for drama at heights unseen,
right. yeah,
and 3 weeks in,
it's
they
nasty.
Got it.
But drama,
they got it all.
You already said that they're going to be a playoff team. If they
I do believe they
would
be a playoff
team. Didn't bring this drama in, and they had Brock Purdy, would you still think they'd be a playoff team?
No, but that's why I say the first part of my statement, but that's acting like they could see
Your
through
Honor,
the...
Your Honor, I'd like to rest.
No, Debs, you can't, because that's acting like they could see through the trees, and they couldn't. Like, when you signed Jimmy, did you know Trey was going to break his ankle?
Kyle did.
No,
I didn't know he was going to be
he
used
didn't.
Like a running back.
No, but
that's
no,
what I didn't know.
But he's still, you don't know he's going to break his ankle.
Last question.
You don't, like, the 49ers don't get to pull that one.
Which defense are we taking? 2011, 2012, 2019, 2022?
I'd have to look it up.
I want to take this one, but it's too soon for me to
too
say
soon?
That.
Okay.
Give me 2011. I listened to your whole thing in. Alden is a rookie.
He's so
Justin
sick.
Smith was unbelievable. Willis and Bowman, both all pros.
I wish
I had a pen in traffic today. I would have written all this down. I would have stolen all of it.
No. On paper, it's this one. Ask me after they face Mahomes.
Right? I'm so ready for that.
Ask me after they face
or
Mahomes.
Or Brady?
But the Tampa's offense doesn't scare me a lick this year.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah. I don't think so. Their receivers were there week one.
I'll ask it tomorrow.
Yeah.
They want to go. All right. That's it for us.
Spiller
coming up next.
I
do
it.
Vontae, you are nobody, my dude.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.